Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us for Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Good morning to everyone.
We hear in today's Gospel from St. Matthew about the importance of always being ready for the Lord. We will hear about the value of doing everything that is needed and also what may happen if we don't take the time to be prepared.
This Sunday's Gospel is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So it's the opening chapter of Matthew 25. And of course, those of us who would remember that Matthew 25 is, and I think that's next Sunday, will bring us to the great judgment. You know, whatever you do to the least, you've done to me. So I think this is a good time to listen to this Gospel in preparation for that reading next Sunday on the Last Judgment. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise ones replied, "No, for there may not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." While they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he said in reply, "Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As you mentioned before, Bishop, this Gospel reminds us of how important it is for us to be prepared for the final judgment. Those who may not be familiar with this reading may think, okay, well, here are the 10 virgins waiting for the groom at a wedding feast. But if we look closer, the maidens represent all of us, and the groom, of course, is the Lord. His arrival is both highly anticipated, yet no one knows when he will appear.
Yes, I think we always have to look at the gospel as an eternal document. It's not something that can be taken. Certainly, an event like this would have happened in the time of Jesus, but Jesus uses it as a metaphor for us today, for us to look at it. So it might be a little foreign to our way of thinking culturally that we don't have this kind of a scenario in today's society. But in Jesus' time, this would have been a normal practice, that there would be those waiting for the bridegroom to come, and it was a public event, it was a community event. And so to be ushered in with these flasks of oil through the dark and being brought into the banquet hall for the celebration would have been of a great preparation. And as you said, of course, the bridegroom in this case is the person of Jesus on his return, mm-hmm. as we await his return. And so Jesus is really telling the church to be awake, to be alert, to stand guard, to prepare them ourselves with lamps and with extra oil in this sense. So it's a very relevant parable for us to keep in mind, that we can't fall asleep in our Christian life. There's things that disturb us. There's things that can really militate against our wanting to live the Christian life. But we have to be very, very careful that Jesus may come at a time when we're least expecting it. And we have to be prepared always. Even in the most difficult situations, even the most difficult of times, we cannot fall asleep in living the gospel as Jesus has given it to us.
Further symbolism to consider here, the oil in the lamp can be seen as the good works you have done in your life. Some will have an abundance and others may not have as much, which will lead them to not be ready for the Lord when he does finally arrive.
Right. Yeah, I think the other symbol there is the lamp itself. They're varying sizes, but they're all small. So you needed that extra oil because the flame can go out quite quickly if it's not continually fueled by more. So if we take it in that sense, the oil lamp is like ourselves, living the Christian life, living the virtues and the other things that we'll talk about when we talk about the oil. But you have to keep pumping that oil in, which means you have to keep living the Christian life through adversity, through good times, through difficult times, through times that we don't understand, through our own persecutions. If we go back to the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So even through persecutions, which would confront the church soon as time went on. So there's all of these things that crosses, difficulties that we have to keep living and living and living. It's a new way of life that we're called to. So there is, you mentioned the oil. What is the meaning of this oil, the Christian life? Well, we can say that it's the oil of love, that we have to love every neighbor, that we are all children of God, and whether we agree or disagree with someone, we treat one another as a child of God, not as an enemy. And so that's the oil. It's also the oil of service, of going beyond ourselves, forgetting ourselves, as we had in the gospel recently, that the greatest among you is the one who serves. It's the oil of forgiveness, being able to forgive those who have offended us, who may try to blacken our name, whatever it is, but there's that forgiveness that has to override any difficulty, and that is the oil that burns in our lamps. It's the oil of compassion, of having a sense of compassion on those, for those who are less fortunate than we are or who are in a difficult situation, but being compassionate for them. That is the oil of compassion, the oil of mercy. The Holy Father has spoken so much about mercy, but being merciful to those who have wronged us, merciful toward those who are in a difficult, sinful situation, but to find a way to fill our own lamps, to light the light of Christ in us through mercy. It's the oil of justice, of seeing those who are treated in an undignified way. We see this so much with the immigration problem that we have today with people treating people, other persons, human persons, as if they were less human. And so this is a tremendous need in our time to work with the oil of justice in terms also of refugees that are having to leave their lands because they cannot live their faith, they cannot live a dignified life. And we need to be merciful and also just in those situations. It's also the oil of faithfulness, how many times many of us want to give up. The Christian life is not easy. It's not a piece of cake. It's not ice cream all the time. Sometimes it's a little bit of bitterness that goes with us. But through all of that, and again, looking at the lives of the saints, they were faithful. I think Mother Teresa used to say that it's not God does not look to see how many good things we've done, but how faithful we are, because faithfulness shows our dedication and our love for God first. And I'd like to end this list, and there are many, many more, but all this is the oil of love, the oil of service, the oil of forgiveness, the oil of compassion, the oil of mercy, the oil of justice, and the oil of faithfulness, and many, many others, is what keeps the light of Christ burning inside of us. And that is seen by what I would call the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. And that is what really people need to see in our lives today. Today is the joy that comes from living Christ in our own life and experience.
You know, Bishop, as you were talking about all these different oils, and you had mentioned earlier about how the lamps were small, I'm a visual person, and I'm thinking, well, in those days, you'd probably want a big lamp so it would just last longer. So if you're using the analogy of a big lamp and a lot of oil, you think, I can do one good deed, and that'll last for a long time.
Well, I'm not an archaeologist, but just to respond to that, I've seen them. They're like they fit in the palm of your hand. But if you had a big one and had a flame,
right,
you probably wouldn't be able to hold it. They didn't have potholders back in those days, I guess. But so it was a little thing that just lit up the way. Mm-hmm. And of course, having 10 people mm-hmm. would give more light. Mm-hmm. The more people you have, the more light there is. You don't need a flame in your hand,
right.
A torch. But I think that's another image for us, is that we don't just have our lamps lit and the oil that we have by ourselves. It's not right. just a personal thing. We are a community of faith. And whenever we are living our faith together, the stronger the light is. When we try to live it apart from each other, when we try to create our own way of doing things and living the Christian life on our own terms, the light grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and eventually will go out. So it's interesting also that there were 10 at the beginning and 5 were prepared and 5 were not. But those 5 kept the flame of faith, the faithfulness alive in their lives and were able to greet the bridegroom when he came. And that's for us today, to live our faith together despite the difficulties that there might be, but so that we can welcome the Lord Jesus when he returns.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Social Ministry, in conjunction with Dismas Charities, is sponsoring the Angel Tree Project again this year for children who have a parent that is incarcerated. The diocese has a list of 153 children in need of an angel this Christmas. These children are innocent victims, meaning they have done nothing to contribute to their being in the situation in which they find themselves. A Christmas party for these children is planned for December 11th. For information about becoming an angel to a child who needs one, especially at this time when the most celebrated and sacred holiday approaches, please contact Mike Corona no later than December 5th at 361-463-3753.
Serving well over 150 homeless adults per day, the Mother Teresa Shelter, a day shelter for the homeless and the transitional housing for men, offers rehabilitation as a primary goal. The shelters offer a drug and alcohol-free environment and comprehensive community-based outreach services to help these individuals stabilize their lives. The shelters provide breakfast and lunch, rest, needed clothing, toiletries, a library, lockers, shower and laundry facilities, phone and internet service, to assist with family communications, first aid, and other assistance to help the homeless return to living productive lives. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately called Mother Teresa, do what you can do. To hear more, call the shelter, 361-883-7372.
Our Shepherd's View continues now. We are discussing the Gospel of Matthew on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and Jesus reminds us to be ready for judgment. We hear about the 10 virgins waiting for the groom at the wedding feast. 5 are ready and 5 are not. Before the break, Bishop, you described how these virgins were holding lamps and needing oil to keep them lit, and how the oil represents the good works that we do in our lives. And speaking of the final judgment, in preparation for today's program, I found a word that I was unfamiliar with, parousia. It is a word that has a Greek origin and refers to the glorious return and appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the judge of the living and the dead.
Well, it's not an everyday we use in the grocery store or in the neighborhood gatherings or family events, but yeah, the parousia is the return of Jesus, final judgment of the living and the dead. We recite that in the creed, that he will return again. So this is a part of that expectation of return. So the gospel that we've had this Sunday is basically a description of the parousia, the return of the bridegroom. Bridegroom in terms of the relationship between Jesus and his church. The church, the body of Christ, has always been described, since ancient times as the bride awaiting the bridegroom, that Jesus married on the cross. He married us through his commitment, his covenant with us in his blood. There was a relationship of, marriage, a marital a kind of relationship in the sense of a covenant, the new covenant that Jesus married the church, sealing it with his blood on the cross. So, but also saying that he would return again. This is, we see the events of our faith that have happened, but what is unseen is kind of difficult for us. Although I think it's interesting, but the real unseen is the return of Jesus. And that is something that needs to be done with great love, with great expectations. The Maranatha was the early greeting of the church. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come back to us. St. Paul, in his letters, especially in the letter to the Ephesians, was writing as if he was returning very quickly. So there was this tension, a beautiful tension in the early church that created that deep sense of fidelity, that deep sense of a willingness to give up things, give up life. So that's where you find the martyrdom of the church was very, you might say, the first expression of fidelity to Christ. People were willing to give up their lives. And there's so many stories, of course, in the early writings of the church of people, being tortured, but doing so gladly because they had this unfailing faith and love that he was returning immediately. It was a tremendous hope. So you have these great martyrs. If I just refer to the first Eucharistic prayer, which was the Roman canon it used to be called, but you have the list of all these people that are mentioned there. Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, and Anastasia. These are real people that were martyred waiting for the parousia and thinking that their own death would be a part of initiating that parousia that Jesus would come. For us, it's very difficult to understand, but, their love for Christ was so, so strong that it was there. And then, of course, we moved to another phase of the life of the church, which was called the white martyrdom, where people were willing to enter into a celibate virginal relationship with Christ, that they would remain virgins. And so you have the whole list of canons, a list of saints that are virgins. Some were virgins and martyrs, but willing to give their life to Christ wholeheartedly and totally, totally dedicated to him. And of course, that is still called for today. So all of this was that kind of humus of waiting for their bridegroom to return, their Lord and their Savior. And so this is the parousia. And it's, the more that a person today anticipates this meeting with Christ, whether it's through their own death or his return, the more alive their faith is, that they anticipate, they are waiting for, they long for. I think many times if we look at our own culture and society, we don't know how to desire what is good anymore. We desire maybe what is selfish. We desire things that may serve us personally in many ways. But this desire to be with Christ for all eternity is something I think that can and should be revitalized in all of our lives. I think I've mentioned this before in watching people at the last hours of their life, kind of turning their eyes away from their loved ones and really looking somewhere else. To me, that is really a sign that the parousia for them is right there. They see this calling, come, come, my loved one. You know, it's a beautiful experience to watch. So I would say in a long explanation, that to me is the parousia, hopefully in more real terms than just a Greek word.
So, Bishop, in looking at this gospel, the five maidens who were prepared, the five who were not, what for us are the lessons we should learn from it and apply to our lives today so that we can be ready?
Well, that's a great question that you ask. And two things come to mind very quickly. I think what Jesus is saying to us through this parable is that last-minute preparation is not good, that it's too late. The five unwise virgins that did not have oil with them, they missed the opportunity. They were late in their preparation. And so it means that building up a relationship with God, you know, God's love is infinite. His mercy is from age to age. So we have to take into that into account. But to try to come to know God at the last minute, to try to show love of God and love of neighbor on our deathbed is pretty difficult to do. And so I think what the first lesson is that it's time now, today, and I speak about the day that everyone's listening to this, is a time to give your life to God and to say, you created me and I'm yours. Show me the way. And he will point you to Christ. He'll point you to the gospel. And now love your neighbor. Put aside your pride. Put aside your anger. Put aside your disappointments. Put aside your judgments. Because that's the empty lamp vessel. That's a vessel that's empty, no oil. Put it all aside and begin to learn to love, to serve, to forgive, to be just, be faithful, etc., and to be joyful. Put that oil in your lamp, because at the last minute, it's very difficult to do all of that at the very end. So the first lesson is, at the end of time, it's too late. The second is that you cannot borrow from others this relationship with God. And you can't rely on just borrowing from the past. And I say this with all respect, but sometimes people say to me, well, I used to do this in the church. Well, that's nice. That's fine. What are you doing today? We try to borrow on our past. We try to say, well, I used to serve as an altar server. Well, that's fine. That's beautiful. It gave you a lot of values and growth. What are you doing today? We cannot borrow the virtues. We cannot borrow service. We can't borrow forgiveness from someone else. We see someone in, maybe in our parish or our family who's very, very forgiving, but we can't borrow that. It has to be ours. We have to own these things ourselves. We can't borrow compassion. We can't borrow mercy. These have to be our oil placed into our lamps. We can't borrow faithfulness. We have to be faithful ourselves. So we have to do the hard work with God's grace to allow God's grace to work in us. And that's why I said, you know, when talking about it's too late at the end, it's not too late today to give one's life over to God and to ask for the grace to be faithful, to be a faithful servant, to really live up to our calling in baptism. I think it's time to get into boot camp, you know, to use military terms. Sometimes we stay in the enrollment stage. We're still discerning, but it's time to get into boot camp. It's time to start muscling up and loving. It's love's not a something for sissies. Love's a really difficult thing because it's love is seen on the cross. It's time to serve. It's time to forgive. It's time to be compassionate. It's time to be merciful. If it means changing our way of thinking, changing our judgments, changing our judgment calls, then do it. Do it. You know, this is a time to really tighten our belts and be ready for the parousia when the Lord Jesus returns. So that's my prayer for everyone this Sunday, that we do all that we can to really be faithful to our calling to Jesus in our baptism and faithful in our preparedness to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes. I want to just say that this is something we pray for every time we go to Mass. After the consecration of the body and the blood of the Lord, what do we say? Either we proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. Or when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. He will come again. May our lamps be lit brightly.
Thank you for your wisdom and reflection, Bishop. If you would please close now with a prayer.
Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Each of us is called to holiness through baptism. Once we experience God in our hearts, we yearn to bring him closer. Deep prayer allows us to do that. Making a commitment to develop a deeper prayer life is a major step in that process. Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center invites us to experience a personal encounter with Jesus through a 3-day silent retreat to communicate with God in complete silence. This affords us the greatest opportunity to know him, his heart, and his will for each of us. Separate silent retreats for men and women are scheduled approximately every other month at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center. For complete information and to sign up for the next silent retreat, visit deepprayer.org. Start your journey now at deepprayer.org.
St. John the Baptist Catholic Parish will host their third annual Pro-Life Rosary Walk, Saturday, December 9th. All are welcome to join in celebrating the sanctity of life and to demonstrate a peaceful pro-life presence in our community. The walk will begin in front of the church, 7522 Everhart Road, at 9 a.m. and proceed down Yorktown to Staples, and then return. For complete information, please call the parish office, 361-991-4400.